And I'm going to go ahead and warn you guys. I went to Fulton McDonald's to get my coffee this morning, and I didn't have my wallet. So obviously I couldn't get coffee, and I came here and instead got a chair wine, which I'd never do. And I am like, it's going to be good. I couldn't tell if it was the Holy Spirit or the chair wine when I was screaming back there. I think it was the chair wine. All right. Hey, we've been in this series on the Holy Spirit. This is the fourth message on it. And I want to challenge you guys that if you missed any of those previous messages, to go to the church website and look at them. The Holy Spirit is not probably is the most important thing that we can learn about, know about, seek about after salvation. You cannot talk about salvation without talking about the Holy Spirit. Okay, they go hand in hand. And if we are not continually seeking after Him, we're not doing what we've been called to do. So even if you heard them, I challenge you to go back and look at them again and listen to them. Holy Spirit just doesn't get preached enough in churches, especially in this area. And sometimes I think we take for granted the fact that you all know God, the first one of our mission statements, much less the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to give you like a 30-second rundown on know God, just in case you're new and you missed the previous three messages or any of the messages up until this point, you're new in this church. Basically, the know God means that God created everything, created us perfect. We messed up, fell for a lie from the devil, and broke that relationship with Jesus and with God. And God said, nah, we can't have that. That's not why I created these people to have a perfect relationship. So we cannot have that. So he turned around and Jesus said, I got it. So he came down here, lived a perfect life. We put him on a cross. We beat him so bad you could not recognize him. And he took all of the sins of the world on him in one moment. Yesterday, today, tomorrow, everything you have ever done, think about that. That is enough. But he took everybody's in that one moment. And then he said, I did it. It's done. And then in 3 days, he came back. And for 40 days, he taught the disciples things they needed to know after that moment, like the Holy Spirit. That was a big part of that. And then he went up and he turned around and said, Holy Spirit, it's your turn. Tag team. Boom. Let's go. Holy Spirit said, I got it. We got it. And he came down here. And now when you believe all that stuff, when you have faith that Jesus Christ did that for you, accept a personal relationship with him and he comes into your heart, you receive the Holy Spirit. At that moment, sealed. That was number one, sealed. The Holy Spirit is the seal of God. And then it was the filled. You guys can help me out, right? Filled. Okay, that's when you continually seek after holiness. When you commit your life to Christ and you are continually trying to find out what he wants you to be and seek after him. Turn that water faucet on. And then you're equipped. After that, you try to figure out if you're a hand or a foot, what your gifts are. And those gifts are to be used for the glory of God. See a pattern? And that brings us, well, you know what? I forgot one thing. You were talking about the superhero part. I wasn't here last week. I had to listen to it on the way home, actually, from Bristol, where I was working. And I heard him say something about he was a chicken man. Or chicken wing man, traffic jam man. There was one other one. Mind reading man. Okay, so I have to put in my two cents, of course. I would have been, the can do two things at once man. Specifically to listening to my wife talk to me while I'm doing something else. No, not going to happen. She's going to listen to this because she's into the kids, but she's going to be like, yep. All the time, she's like, hey, you remember we're doing that thing today that I talked to you about yesterday? I'm like, huh? That's brand new information. It's like, we talked like an hour about it. I was like, what was I doing during that moment? You're building something? Okay, well, I can't do that. I actually got the opportunity to have a superhero power this week as my niece and nephew were in town. Small kids, I love them. And they had a superhero power, and they were playing these games and said, what are you? And I'm getting old. Because the first thing that popped into my head was, I had the superpower to hug you the hardest. That was my superhero power. Never get to see them. And I just walked around just squeezing them when they were running. It was great. Anyway, I digress. You're sealed, filled, equipped, and that leads us to today. Not going to spoil that just yet. But when you came in, look under your chairs real quick. There is a notepad and a pen. I want you all to pick those up. Guys in the back on the bleachers, there's people walking around just handing you one. Here's what I want you to do with that. I want you to write down one word on that piece of paper that you struggle with. And what I mean by that is fear, anger, depression, drugs, alcohol, anything like that that on a daily basis you struggle with. And no, it cannot be Ronnie, okay? It can't be Ryan or Dylan. I don't need names. No names, no emails, no social networking, Instagram. I don't need any hashtags. I don't need any of that. Well, you could probably hashtag it. That's probably a thing, right? But I need one thing that you struggle with on a day-to-day basis. And we'll do something with those in just a little bit, okay? Well, hey, when you guys see me up here, when I get the opportunity to stand up here and teach you guys, it seems to always be at the right moment in the series that I can lend myself to the message. God just knows what's going on. It all works together for him. He knows when John needs a break, something, and he wants me to come up here and talk, that I can, I have some insight to what's going on. And I have a particularly diverse relationship with the Holy Spirit, which is why I think we talked about it, and it probably would be better if I just talk to you guys today instead of preaching to you. And I'm going to do a little bit of that at the end, but I just want to give you a little bit of my story and my testimony. Is that okay? Can I do that? Can I sit down and do that? Is that cool? I know you guys know a little bit about me if you've heard me speak up here before, but there's a lot more going on in the 39 years that I've been alive. And I can preach on the Holy Spirit just a little bit, okay? So I grew up in a very conservative church right down the road. It was a great church to grow up in, fairly large, and it's a Baptist church, your typical Baptist church, okay? And we had 10 to 12 to 15 people in our youth group, and we'd learn a little something on a felt board, you know, and then sing Father Abraham and then go play dodgeball, which was great for a kid, you know, it was fantastic. Had a snack. We had sunrise services, and we had the red hymnal in front of us. I don't know if you've ever been in a church that had the great hymns of faith. And it was just a good country church. And the thing that I probably remember the most is the potluck lunches, the covered dishes. Yeah. Oh, man. Sorry, I'm getting lost in the dessert table. Because that's where I spent most of my time. I think one day we'll be able to experience that together. I hope for that. If any of you guys hope for that, I see you shaking your heads up and down. Drop your wallets in the boxes on the way out. Seriously, we'll return them. You know, we'll take what we need and then we'll give it back. Yeah, I think that's something that we'll have a good time together doing. We'll be able to judge each other on your cooking. And we'll see the people who phoned it in by bringing Kentucky Fried Chicken, which is fine with me. I love some Kentucky Fried Chicken, okay? But you've always got those buckets coming in, sitting on a little table. But the thing about that church is the Holy Spirit really stopped at salvation, at the Trinity. That's the only time you ever heard about the word the Holy Spirit, and they didn't really go much further than that. We weren't in Awana's memorizing verses about speaking in tongues. Okay, we got John 3:16. That's what we did. And that worked for that church. But there's more to the Holy Spirit than the Trinity. There just is. And when I was 12 years old, my parents made the executive decision to send us to a Christian school. And that was a struggle for them. I did not know how much it cost until later. We could have had nice cars, a nicer house. I could have had clothes. I had clothes, but you know what I'm saying. I could have had shoes that weren't falling apart. Like, we struggled to get by because they knew that putting me in a situation as a young man and being developed by people who believed in God was important in my life. So I went to a Christian school that was based out of a charismatic church, which is something I knew nothing about. But the school wasn't allowed to teach the charismatic teachings. They just taught Bible, just like anywhere else, any other Christian school. So fast forward a little bit. I'm 16 years old. I'm driving. I play every sport I can get a hold of. So I'm coming out of soccer practice one night on a Wednesday night. And some of my friends were doing what teenagers do. They loiter. So they were loitering in the parking lot. And I walked over there. And I was like, hey, man, what's going on? And they're like, hey, what are you doing? We're going to youth group. You want to come in? And I said, well, you know, I go to youth group. That's great. Let's go play some dodgeball and have some snacks. No. Listen. I walked into a room where the lights were out. They had what seemed like 1,000 lights going off, smoke machines, more electric guitars than I could count, 300 plus youth with their hands in the air praising God. A strong message and an altar call where the altar was full of people crying out to God. I had never seen something like that before, ever. I was scared and intrigued all at the same time. And that's really where my life with the Holy Spirit started. That's where I recognized the Holy Spirit in my life, because I was hooked, man. I wanted this. I wanted more of this. Whatever this is, I felt like I've been, you know, living a baby Christian life. And I saw this stuff, and I went after it. And what I ended up having were experiences with the Holy Spirit. For lack of a better word, emotional highs. It wasn't something I took with me. It was something I could only get in these moments. And I came in there trying to get it because I knew that was where it was. And I did there much like what I did here, what I do here. I started setting up chairs. I started getting involved. I started playing in the band. I started doing sound. I started doing whatever I could do to be involved to learn more about this Holy Spirit and how I could experience it more. And then one day something happened that I had never heard before. It just didn't happen to me. It happened to the person beside of me. I started speaking in tongues. And then I was really freaked out. Okay? Remember, I am from conservative town Rockwell, North Carolina. And these kids who are my age are speaking in tongues. And I didn't know what to do. So I did what anybody else would. I started asking questions. It's like, what is that? What is going on? Like, is this, are they possessed? Like, is something happening here? Like, really? That's what it felt like to me. I had no idea. I never taught any of this stuff. And what a leader and the youth pastor explained to me was that this was a gift of the Holy Spirit that was given to them in direct language to God, and only God could understand it. And that was pretty much the example they gave me. That was all they said. And I said, what's the Holy Spirit? Like, I was stuck on the Holy Spirit, much less the tongues part. See, I had this battle going on inside of me where, as a young child, I was taught what I was taught conservatively, and now I'm experiencing this Holy Spirit, and I was confused. It was just sitting there, and I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to believe. And then I was told something that made it so much worse. I had a youth pastor tell me that speaking in tongues was, for more than better words, an example that you were saved. And if you couldn't do it, then you need to look at your salvation. You need to look at your heart. And I went, what? And as a young man, and early on in the, you know, with the Holy Spirit, I had no idea. I didn't have enough knowledge to say anything back to him. I just took him at his word. So here I am for the first time, 16, 17, really in the growth parts of my life with the Holy Spirit in a spiritual life. Now I'm wondering if I'm saved. Stuck again. Battling that again, confused again. I went on with that and became a leader in that church. And at some point, I was the guy standing here with people coming down the line to get prayer to receive the Holy Spirit to do things like speak in tongues. When all these kids weren't, they wanted me to pray for them to get it. And I was like, yeah, I'll pray for you, and then you can pray for me. Then we'll get it together, right? I mean, that's like being in a contest to win a car, and you're the last one, and everybody else in front of you has got a key, and you're supposed to pray for them to have the key to win the car, even though you're in the contest too. Like, I want to win the car. I want to have some fun and do some tongues and Holy Spirit, like, you know. And I went on like that for a while. I got out of that church just through growth. I went to college. And the one thing that happened to me during those moments in that church and thereafter in other churches was I might not have understood what was going on, and I might not have even been taught the right things, but I was developing a life with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was growing inside of me without me even knowing what that was. He started leading me. I started having something tell me when I'm going into situations, don't do that. Don't go there. He started chasing me. Don't hang out with those people. Don't talk like that. You know, don't listen to that music. It became something that started leading me on a daily basis, even though I didn't know what that was. And then I felt that Spirit lead me to call me to full-time ministry. And I had just experienced a great loss with my dad, and I was confused about life and what that was. So I said, sure, let's do that. So I picked up everything I knew, and I moved to Florida to go to, another charismatic university. And I remember sitting in chapel one day, and we had a president that was a man of God. I mean, like, when you stood beside him, your hair started standing up. You could just feel it. He knew what the Holy Spirit was, and it was all over him. And he got up on stage and preached a message about how he was in South America. And the interpreter didn't show up. And there were thousands of people waiting to hear him speak. Like a Billy Graham crusade type place. And he was wondering what was going to happen. He said the Holy Spirit kept prompting him to go talk to them. And he's like, no. What am I going to say? What am I going to do? What am I going to say? Where's your interpreter? He said after about a half an hour, he just gave in, and he walked out there and opened his mouth, and for an hour he spoke perfect Spanish. Perfect Spanish. And the only thing he could say before that was, you know, he could place his order at Taco Bell, but that's about it. Probably like you and me. God gave him that gift when he needed it to glorify him. And to this day, he can still speak perfect Spanish and understands it. He didn't take it away from him. And then at the end of that conversation that he was having with us, he prompted everyone to go to the Lord in their prayer language. Oh, man. Come on. Like, really? I'm in a room with like 2,000 plus people going into school for ministry in a charismatic setting, and they all start talking to God in a prayer language, and I'm there embarrassed again. People looking at me like, what's wrong with you? All those feelings came back. All that struggle within me came back. And from that moment on, I made a decision that I was going to go on a spiritual journey, and if I could not figure it out, I was not going to preach. I was not going to stand up on a stage and tell people something that A, I did not believe, that I did not understand, and that I could not replicate. That is not fair to me or to anybody else. And I think that journey, that conservative to charismatic background that I have, the diversity that I have with the Holy Spirit really leads me to be able to stand here today and talk to you about the Holy Spirit. Because I believe, and we believe in this church, that we get it right. And this is what I found out. Let me tell you something. When the Holy Spirit comes in your life, and you are sealed. The great theologian Stevie Wonder said, you are signed, sealed, delivered. At that moment, no confusion necessary. No second guessing. No one can take that away from you. No one can say that that is not what is happening, because when you get saved, you are saved. And the Holy Spirit delivers you right in that moment, comes in your life, and you are sealed. And then you are filled to commit yourself to holiness, and then you are equipped to find out if you are a hand or your foot. That is how it works. John is getting it right. He may not think he has such a great relationship or a charismatic background or that kind of stuff because he didn't grow up like that, but he is getting it right. You don't have to worry about that. You don't have to worry about whether you're saved or not. And what happens is, people get so caught up in this gift of tongues and the prophecy and all of that stuff that they just bypass the Spirit altogether. You just don't even bother with it. That is the wrong attitude to have. Because the Holy Spirit, it wants you to live a life and a life more abundant. And that is how you do it. With the Holy Spirit. And it's not a I and a he and a me and a you. It's a we. It's you and him together. Every day. What happens is, what had happened was, when you stop talking about him and you don't spend time with him, we end up with a bunch of mediocre Christians who have never experienced the Holy Spirit and right now don't have a clue what I'm talking about. And nobody sees you and says, I want to be like you, which is what we're here for, to be a light. We're supposed to be an example of Christ to everybody else. And when we bypass the Holy Spirit, we don't get any of the stuff that comes along with him. And let me tell you something, when he moves in, and he does move in, when you are sealed, you get everything. He's not sitting there like, all right, TJ, well, I'm going to give you the spirit of the gift of music, okay? And Ronnie too, because he can play the drums, and I'm looking at Jimmy, so, you know, music too. You know, and then you get the music, you get the ability to be hospitable or the ability to, you know, be good at prayer. He doesn't do that. He brings everything in with him. You are created to be specifically good at some things, but he brings all that stuff with him. And when you start being filled and you start being equipped, you are available at that moment to be used by everything, but you never get filled. You skip all that. And that, I'm sorry if you can't tell, but that irritates me. Because if there's one thing that I have learned from this journey of the Holy Spirit is that with him, there is life way more abundant than what you have without him. And we miss that when we don't get him. When you don't talk to him. When he's not a part of your everyday life, you miss it. You're leaving a mediocre life that is not any fun. He came to give you a life more abundant. Is that going to preach? Will that preach? Somebody tell me that's going to preach, right? Amen? Hello? Thank you. Sorry. I came from Charismatic. We like to talk. All right? And this is a point where I blanked. I'm just going to be honest in the message. I got to this point and went, okay, well, it was easy to give my testimony. That's the easy part. Now what? Holy Spirit, you got to help me out a little bit. And he was like, nah. You're going to have to figure this one out. That's not fair. He does that sometimes, you know. He does that sometimes. He's like, you got the tools. Figure it out. And I went to the place where all great pastors go. Not that I'm a great pastor, but they all go there. So I thought I'd go. What's Starbucks? Right? Laptop open. Okay. Go. Yeah. What it got? No, not going to type itself. Nothing. And I have this really bad habit. My wife thought it was endearing, I thought, when we got married, but now she cannot stand it. I hum and whistle and sing all the time. All the time. Like, When I'm working, I'm whistling the tune to whistle while you work, which I can see how it would be annoying if you were working beside of me. And I'm sitting there at Starbucks looking at this blank screen, humming this song. And I mean, these things just pop into my head. I have no idea where I get them. I have no memory. I mean, zero memory. But I can remember songs I've never heard before. Anybody, you got that sickness, right? I don't know how that works. I wish I could reverse it and remember things that mattered, but no. So I'm sitting there singing, dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. Like, what is that? What is that? Why is that in my head? Dun, 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 dun. You ever heard that tune before? God is so funny, man. God is so funny. I wish you guys knew him like I do. I hope you do. You probably know him way more than I do. But the God I know, the God that, he just laughs at me sometimes. Because he just delivers stuff to me without me. He's like, I wasn't leaving you alone. Love is the flag flown high from the castle of my heart for the when the king is in residence there. So let it fly high in the sky and let the whole world know that he is in residence there. A song I had learned at a conservative church who didn't teach the Holy Spirit had a more theologically sound teaching on the Holy Spirit than anywhere else I'd ever been. Because I knew where I was going, because we have those fancy words, you know, we're sealed, filled, equipped. And I got this one. I already had that one. I knew what it was, but I didn't know how to get there. At least I thought I knew what it was. I was like, what am I doing? Here's this children's song. And God said, that's it, man. God wants to sustain us every day. Did you get that one? Sealed, filled, equipped, sustained. There you go. He wants to sustain you with the Holy Spirit so you can live a life more abundant. He wants that Spirit to be so loud in your head that you hear it every day and you walk with it and talk with it. With him. He wants to sustain you. And that song is all about the gift that is given to you when you are sustained by the Holy Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 through 23. You can put them up there. Seen those before somewhere? When you live a life sustained by the Holy Spirit. This is what you get. How many of you could use a little more of this? Love, joy, peace. I know I can. When I used to counsel people, the first thing that I would look for in their life was evidence of the Holy Spirit. And most of the time, there was none. No evidence. When you're struggling with something, if you're not being sustained by the Holy Spirit, you don't get any of this. So, how do you live a life sustained by the Holy Spirit? And I know I'm pushing my time, John, so I'm going to, you can't see the clock, so I'm going to move. I had to go way back for these, way back. I mean, like John preaches the Hebrew and the Greek. Like, I had to go back further than that. I went to some dead languages. Aramaic, Smithsonian. That's not a language. Cave drawings. Like, I went back to the cavemen. I was like, what did they know? All the way to number one, how to be sustained. Pray! I know. Mind blown, right? That's a good one. Come on, pray. How many of you have had relationships that have broken down because of no communication? If me and Monica are struggling, it's because we are not talking every time. You think your relationship with God is any different? He's the first person that you talk to when you wake up, the last person you should talk to you when you go to bed, and all day long the Holy Spirit is with you to talk to you, to help you with every decision, everything you are doing. You've got to communicate. There are too many people who only seek out God when you need something. Right? I'm guilty of that. I have been that person where the only time I go to God is when I am in trouble and I cannot get out of it myself. We have got to communicate. When I lost my dad, I went through a period of time where I was talking to God, but you would not have liked to hear what I was saying. I was just being honest. I wanted to honor the fact that I had a relationship with him, but I was ticked off at him. I could not understand it, and I was angry all the time. And there would be times where I was praying, and I'd be talking to him, Lord, please show me what this is supposed to do in my life and be, and, you know, just going through the motions because I didn't want to talk to him. And then I'd just start screaming at him. And there were times where I would just, I want to show you something. If you guys who have a Bible and want to turn to this, or it's in the notes on your phone, Romans 8:26. I love this. Likewise, I see some of you still turning. I'm going to wait a minute. Pace yourself, John, right? All right, give him a second. It's like he says, it's right here. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. When you don't know what to pray, he gets it. He's already there, he's interceding for you. He's got it. When you are screaming and you don't know what to say, he's already got it. When you're sealed, when you're filled, and when you're equipped, and then you start to sustain your life with the Holy Spirit, he is battling for you every day. So you got to pray. Number two, you got to read. I know these are really tough, right? God is not a God of confusion. Let me tell you that. If you're confused about something, that might not be from him. When I was confused about all that Holy Spirit stuff, about the speaking in tongues, about teachings that were taught to me that were not right, if I would have known a little more about it, I would have known that the minute I was confused, I needed to stop and look at what was going on. He's not a God of confusion. This right here will tell you anything you need to know. What do you do when you don't know something? Now, with those phones, you Google it. Siri. Everybody's phone wakes up. Okay, Google. Right? That's what we do. We read about it. How do you think the Holy Spirit would be any different? He gave us this. God gave us his word so that we can learn more about him. And if you're not in this daily, you're missing it. You're missing opportunities for the Holy Spirit to show you something. Right here. And I'm going to show you something right now. I love this. In John 15, we'll just do 7 through 9. Not going to go all the way to 11 because I'm going to hurry here. God could have given me this verse early on in the week and said, this is the message right here. He didn't do that. He made me sweat for it. Because I'm going to show you something. This is fantastic. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Stop right there. This is the whole series on the Holy Spirit right there. Sealed, filled, equipped, sustained. Watch this. Verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. If you are sealed and then you are filled, what happens? Ask whatever you want and it'll be given to you. People misinterpret that verse all the time. Because you can't just ask whatever you want. Listen, if you are abiding in him and he is in you and the words of his, this is in you, you're seeking this out daily. When you are sealed and then you are filled, your heart changes into the desires that he gives you. You want to do what he wants you to do. You want to walk his walk. So then anything that you ask, you're equipped. Hello. You're equipped. You have the gifts of God. When the Spirit moved in, he brought all of them. And then you're equipped for them. To use them. For what? Somebody help me. What's next? For his glory. We just learned that last week. For his glory. And then after that, look, this is where he could have just given it to me. That you bear much fruit. Remember the Galatians 5, 22 to 23 is up there, the fruit of the Spirit? That will be your life. You start to bear fruit so that what? Other people will see you and know that you are a disciple of his. That's the point. That's what happens when you're sustained. And the last one, you've got to socialize. We don't have a problem with that, do we? We like to socialize. If you surround yourself with people who don't believe the things that are being taught in this church, they will bring you down every time. The Bible says you can be in the world, but not of it. It also says that iron sharpens iron. There's meanings behind that. You have to put yourself around people who build you up every day. Who love God, who love you, and want to see you succeed in the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you need to cut some people out. I've had to do that. It is not easy. But if something is bringing you down, sometimes you got to cut it off. We have made it really easy for you to get involved and socialize in this church. We have teams. We have set up teams at 5:30 in the morning. We had two new people today. Thank you, Lord. We love you. Everybody's like, 5:30. Lord's up at 5:32. Come on. We have places you can work. We have small groups. We try to set it up so that you have places that you can go to feel safe and have like-minded people build you up.
And it's awesome.
And we had a great time with the youth yesterday. Groups to help you socialize, have a better spirit-filled life. There's a verse in there. Go ahead and throw it up. I'm gonna run. You guys check out that verse. That is Paul talking to the Hebrews in a letter. He's talked about faith and love, and then he tells them basically what I just told you, that you need to be surrounding yourselves with like-minded people who can build you up. I gave you those papers, if you can pull those back out, those note cards. I want you to write down one thing. Put those fruits back up there, if you don't mind. Heather. Thank you. I know I'm making her backtrack. She'll figure it out in just a second. Yeah, there it is, actually. I'm sorry, I cannot read that. The light's in my face, I don't know how you do that. That's good. It's been up there for like 30 seconds. So, thank you. Write down one of those fruits that can directly have a response on the struggle that you struggled, that you wrote down on that paper. And I'm going to close with this story real quick. I'll paraphrase it. That's why he doesn't let me up here very long, because I don't get you to your food as quick as he does. When I was going through that rough patch in college, in the university, the devil came up against me and attacked me. publicly. And he knew I was in trouble. He knew I was doubting myself. And he came after me. And something happened to me that could have ruined my life in the ministry. I would, just trust me, it would have ruined my life with what I was trying to do. And I didn't know how to do anything else but those three things that we just went through, those three how-tos. I started praying. And I started reading. And I started socializing. I called every pastor I knew, every one of them. I said, this is what's happening. What do I do? Started surrounding myself by people. I got to where every day, from the time I woke up to the time I went to bed, I was talking to God. The Holy Spirit was right here. And something happened in my life. I got to where every step, every move, every word, every thought was led by the Holy Spirit. Every one of them. And at the end of that 3 weeks, I got a gift that I would say is better than any gift the other one I could have gotten. People long for this gift. We ask him to do it all the time. He never does it. God verbally spoke to me through the Holy Spirit. Verbally. And when I was crying out because I was scared to death that I was going to lose everything I had worked for, he said, this is who I need you to be. Right here. This guy. The guy who leans on me 100% of the time. If you're going to do this, you have to do it like this. Not a me and a you, a we, an us. And then he said, let's get to work. That was who he wanted me to be. Someone sustained by the Holy Spirit. Sealed, filled, equipped, and sustained. Every day, talking to him. We're going to sing a song. We're going to close. And I apologize, but I'm going to make you do something. We have leaders that are going to go to these tables. There's four tables here, one in each corner. They're going to be praying for you. I want you to walk up, and I want you to put those cards in those baskets, whichever one's closest to you. Drop the pens in there too, so we don't have to pick them up later. If you need prayer for something, they're there for you. Otherwise, they're just there praying over you. And while we're singing this song, the whole band can come on out. That's okay. Don't be scared. I want you to do that and then come back and worship God. And during that moment, ask him how the Holy Spirit can reveal what you want him to be in you. All right? So if the leaders we got, we'll go to those tables right now. The altar's open too. All right? If you need prayer, take it.